That was really cool how those songs worked out, because they just played something, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit pinpointed exactly what to play for them. But that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. And take your Bible and be turning to Revelation chapter 22. We just come tonight to bless the Lord and to sit at the feet of Jesus and just to gaze into the eyes of the Lord tonight. And Lord, we want to receive from You and just flow from Your throne, from a pure river of life. And so we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate this Word of God for us, and burn it and write it upon our hearts. And we thank You, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And look at Revelation 22, verse 1. It says, then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, y'all, what we experienced Sunday, I've not been able to shake yet, and I don't want to. Was that not awesome? And I told Bishop, I said, that's how church is supposed to be. I really felt like we crossed over to a new level in the Lord in worship. And I just felt like this word, when I was thinking about that this afternoon, I felt the Lord speak this word to me, that what we experienced Sunday, He said, it will, like that encounter, that whole scene, it will change you as much as you desire Me to. And so He'll take what we experienced and what we engaged in Sunday morning, and He will use that to transform us and to change us as much as we desire Him to do. And so for those of you who were not here, we had a morning regular processional and things, and but at 10:10, I never wear a watch, but I had my watch on Sunday, and at 10:10, we began worshiping in the Spirit. And like at a new level than we've ever known. And we've all experienced a lot of things in the Lord, but this was new ground. And we went just Spirit worship for a solid 30 minutes. The last 5 minutes of the morning, Luke just kind of softly started strumming his guitar. And so it was just all Spirit sound. And I was up there, and I kind of started just noticing what was going on in around me. And it was like we were hearing the sound of heaven and the noise of heaven being released in this room. And as I was standing up there, I could tell, like, Holy Spirit would start moving in the back, like where Anna is, and the sound of heaven would be released back in there. And then it would come over here, and He would release over here, and He would move over here, and He would release over here. And so all over the sanctuary, Holy Spirit would just be birthing and brooding. And it was exquisite. It was heaven on earth for 30 minutes. And the whole morning, but just that little bracket of 30 minutes was very, very, very special. And I felt like that took us to a new place in the Lord of really stepping into the pure river, the crystal river of God. And I want to stay there. I want us to become comfortable with the pure river of God. And I want us to cross over, and I want us to take it. You see that in Revelation 22:17, it says, "Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." And I wish with all my heart that we would just cross over and take that land that God's allowed us to dip into. And so, look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 4 through 7. It says, "There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when her morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." You see that what that says in verse 4? It says that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, I'm telling you, every time you encounter the river, it produces joy. Joy and the river of God go hand in hand, and they flow together. And look at Isaiah 12. We're going to look at some scriptures just to kind of lay a foundation, and then we're going to talk a little bit. Just a second. And so, Isaiah 12 says, "Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." And here, listen to this. "Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." When God steps on the scene, He becomes great. And all other things just pale in comparison to Him. And when we began engaging and encountering the Lord Sunday, I feel like the Lord just captivated us all over again. Look at Ezekiel 43. If you want to turn there, Ezekiel 43. This is when the glory of God begins to fill the temple. "Then He led me to the gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with His glory." Do you hear that? There is a sound of many waters. In verse 3, "And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when He came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then," hear this again, "then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me." You see, there, When the glory of God comes on the scene, there is noise that we need to pay attention to. There are sounds that we need to pay attention to when the glory of God begins to manifest in our midst. Because if we do, if we'll engage the realm of heaven, we'll begin to hear God's heart. There's something about engaging the sound of heaven and releasing the noise of heaven, releasing what we hear going on in the midst of heaven and around the throne, that bursts life and freedom into an atmosphere. You remember what Jesus said in John 6:63. He said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life." They are spirit and they are life. And so, when we engage in the noise that's going on in the midst of heaven, we engage in another realm and we begin to give birth to what's going on in that realm. We begin to give birth to life in the midst of death. John 7:37, Jesus said, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" Now, I really want you to grab hold of that. Jesus inviting us to come and drink. "He who believes in me, as the Scriptures said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So what we see, because we just read in Revelation 22, is the bride calling Jesus, "Come." Saying, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." And here in John 7, we hear Jesus inviting us, the bride, to come. Anyone who thirsts can come. And so, what you have this picture of is this heavenly thing of come, 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 come. Jesus calling, "Come, come, come." And the bride calling, "Come, come, come." And so what you see is this heavenly picture of a tug of love. It's not a tug of war, but it's a tug of love saying, "Come, come, come." And Jesus saying, "Come, come, come. I just want you to be in my presence for a moment. Let me speak the words of life into you. Let me kiss you that you can carry out my purpose on the earth." This life of, I said a moment ago that when we release the sound of heaven, we release life into dead circumstances and dead situations. And That's the heart of intercessory prayer. You birth life and hope and the purpose of God in the midst of death. And when we pray and when there's intercession and when there's worship and when there's fasting, life is birthed in the midst of all that. And the anthem of the bride, that I think that's what I felt the Lord call our worship time Sunday morning, was just, it's the anthem of the bride. Those 30 minutes that we experienced so deep in the Spirit was the anthem of His bride, saying, "Come, come." And I don't know if you all remember, but that's what Bishop started singing, was, "Come, come, 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 come." And he did. So this heavenly tug of war is going on, and when you fall in love with Him, you cannot help but pray. You cannot help but talk to Him. You cannot help but engage Him because you love Him so much. And I see the Lord birthing that in our hearts. So I've said all that to bring us up to this point. I felt led of the Lord to share with y'all about a place that's called Moravian Falls. It's in North Carolina. And everybody has their own story from Moravian Falls, but I just want to share a little bit of what Lauren and I experienced there. We had a word from the Lord. I'd never been to Moravian Falls, and I didn't know anybody that had been, other than I knew Luke had gone there for a week for rest and retreat, just to seek the Lord. And I remembered him telling me that they kept coming to the house, to the lodge, asking him, didn't he want to leave and go to town or something like that? And he didn't. He didn't want to leave because the presence of God was just so sweet there. But we had this word from the Lord to take our honeymoon to Moravian Falls. And God said if we would go, then He would commission our life and our ministry and our marriage. And we did, and He did. And it was a beautiful thing. But the Moravians were labeled as heretics because of their lifestyle of prayer and worship and fasting. And they were on ball with it long before Kansas City's prayer room. They had 24/7 prayer and worship. And they were labeled as heretics, and this is one of the things that they would do, is they would sell themselves into slavery so that they could propagate the gospel, so that they could spread the gospel. And they were just a very devoted, devout people. And they were driven out from where they had settled, and there was a very rich man named Count Zinzendorf, and he's been called the rich young ruler who said yes. And he decided to, God spoke to him and told him to give part of his estate to the Moravian people so that they could settle there. And so when he did, that began 100 years, over 100 years of 24/7 prayer and worship and fasting around the clock. And because of that, their ministry there in that territory and in that region opened a portal in heaven. And because of that, it's so easy, very easy to access the things of heaven there. And just to really engage in the realm of heaven. And a lot like, just the angels of God ascending and descending constantly through those portals. And people come. You know, what I was thinking about is people come from all over the world to go to Moravian Falls to experience the Lord because the glory of God is so thick there. And there are people within the city limits who have no idea about it. They have no idea about what they live in, where they live, and what kind of portal is open over them. And it reminds me of Selma. Y'all, we're going to begin to see more and more people coming to experience what God is doing in this region. But we still have people here who have no clue how the glory of God and the foot of Jesus is over this place. I wanted to tell y'all about... So, angelic activity is a real common thing there. And the other day, we had dinner with Lois and Robert Sanford, and they wanted to hear about our experiences at Moravian Falls. And she asked me how I first heard about Moravian Falls, and I had to think for a minute. But it finally hit me. It was through a man named Bobby Connor. And Bobby Connor was a Spirit-filled... He was a Baptist preacher for 45 years. He got filled with the Spirit. And they kicked him out of the Baptist church, which is the story of most of us. And God gave him this awesome prophetic ministry, and he travels the world. He's like 78, 79 years old, and he does something like 200 dates a year, just all over the place. God has him everywhere. But I heard him talking about Moravian Falls, and there was a man in the early 90s who asked Bobby's wife if he built a cabin, would Bobby come stay at it? And Bobby's wife said, I don't know, you'll have to ask Bobby. So he asked Bobby, and Bobby asked the Lord, and the Lord said yes. And so he had the cabin finished, and he went. They were there after the construction was completed, and they were there to dedicate it. And they were hand in hand like this in the den area, praying, and all of a sudden they heard really loud footsteps, and the man who had built the cabin asked Bobby. He said, "I have to go, Donna." And Bobby said, "Yes." And Bobby went, and it was in the winter, and there was a fire, and he went and sat on the couch, and was watching the fire burn, and all of a sudden he heard noise on the front porch, and so he opened the door to see who was out there, and he said it was all happening so quick that the natural mind could not comprehend how many were there. But he said there was between 14 and 18 angels on this porch, and there were six columns on the porch, and they were circling all around it. And when he opened the door, the first question out of their mouth was, "What took you so long?" They were all dressed in pilgrim clothing from the 1700s. And what happened is those angels had been laying dormant without a commission and without a charge since those pilgrims, since the Moravian people were there in the ministry of prayer, worship, and fasting. And they had been waiting since the mid-1700s for a commission. And so that Bobby opens the door and says, "What took you so long?" And I remember Bobby talking about how much joy those angels were showing to have somebody there to commission. And so God sent Bobby and some others along to finish that commission and to take up the mantle of prayer and worship and fasting 24/7 kind of thing. And so you can go to Wilkes County Courthouse in North Carolina, and you can see in the 1700s all the land in Moravian Falls was deeded to Jesus Christ. And this portal is open. There's a place... you have the falls there, and there's a real portal there. But there's also another place called Prayer Mountain, where we encounter the Lord the most. And that's right up from the lodge where most people stay. But Bobby, getting back to that story, Bobby goes back inside the house after he encounters. He said, as quick as they came, they went. And he went back inside the house, and he sat down on the couch again, and he was thinking, what in the world did I just experience, you know? And he said, all of a sudden, there came this really, really booming loud knock on the door. And he's sitting in dead silence, and it scared him so bad. He said his heart jumped up in his throat, and he said in a loud, real squeaky voice, he said, "Come in." And he said the most bold, I went back and listened to it today so I would get all this right. I didn't want to tell anything wrong. He said, a voice bolder, stronger, and richer than any voice you could ever hear, said, "No, you must come out." And so he went and he opened the door, and he said, there stood on the other side of that door the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a bottle in his hand that looked a lot like a champagne bottle. And Jesus told Bobby, he said, "We are here. I'm here to do a christening, but you know nothing of christening." And he said, Jesus walked past him, walked through the den, walked down the hallway into the bedroom. And Bobby followed him, and without saying a word, Jesus took that bottle of, it was oil, and he slammed it against the wall. And he said, when Jesus did that, Bobby had this thought and said, how in the world am I going to tell this man that just built this cabin that I ruined his wall on the first night? And he said, no quicker than he thought it, that Jesus turned and spoke, and he said, He said, you never have to apologize or attempt to explain what I do. truth. You never have to apologize or attempt to explain what I do. And he said, Jesus turned and he pointed, turned back from Bob and he pointed to the wall, and a map had formed, a map of the world had formed out of that oil. And Jesus would touch a place and it would light up. Bobby said it, all of a sudden it just all kind of transformed into a war room, like you would look looking at a map in a war room. And Jesus said, he said, you can only target what I target or you'll become a target. And the guy that was interviewing Bobby said, why did Jesus come in this way to you? Why did he appear like this? And Bobby said that it's because there's an advancing of the kingdom age that's going on right now. And we've got to get to the next level. That he's looking for a mature people who can walk in understanding, to give them hidden wisdom, to give them the secret of the Lord, and a people of right understanding. And so, and the whole thing is a right understanding about glorification, is what Bobby said. And so, when we got back to Selma, we had this. We spent part of the week in Moravian Falls, and then we went to Maggie Valley for the remainder of the week. And when we got there, Lauren cried because we had been in so much glory in Moravian Falls, and the presence of God was just so accessible. You could literally taste and experience the goodness of God. But when we got to Maggie Valley, it was a different spiritual climate there. And it was very difficult for us to transfer into that atmosphere to engage the Lord there. And Maggie Valley is a wonderful place, and God's presence is there. The Lord was using that to teach us in early on just how to engage the Lord in difficult places, and places where it's not so thin. But that's the thing about Moravian Falls, it's just the thinnest membrane between earth and heaven there. And when we got back to Selma, we had this overwhelming knowing, not just a thought, but a knowing in our spirit that that's what's in Selma. What Selma and Moravian Falls have a very kindred spirit in the Lord. And for those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart for it, it is very easy to engage the Lord here. And it's a thin membrane here as well. And there are, and so that, but that's the thing, is like God's teaching us how to tap into that right now. God's teaching us that there is more, and that he's teaching us specifically how to engage in those portals that are open here in Selma. And there is angelic help, heaven's help for all that's going on right now. And we need heaven's help in any way that he chooses to bring. I want you to look at Luke 1:26, if you will, just to kind of back up a little bit of what I'm saying, so we don't get off base. We want to be grounded in the Word. It's Luke 1:26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. Just stop there and just grab that for a minute. The angel Gabriel was sent. So, angels can be sent. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, He was coming to announce the birth of Jesus. And every major move of God, every revival, every awakening, there are angels that are associated with that. Sometimes one major angel, sometimes many angels. And they come to carry out the plans and the purposes of God. And so, I think more than anything right now is that the Lord is trying to reveal to us that there is help to carry out the plans and the purposes of God over this Selma revival. In Psalm 91, we all know that by heart, but listen to this. In verse 9, Psalm 91:9, it says, "For you have made the Lord..." But I want to just add Selma right there. It says, "Selma, you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent." In verse 11 it says, "For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone." So what is their charge? He will give His angels charge concerning you. Their charge is all that concerns you, to protect you in all that concerns you. And so, what is their charge over Selma? The angel of revival that's at work with the Selma revival, what is his charge? It's all that concerns the Selma revival. And everyone and everything in its midst. I've forgotten about this, but I just saw that there was a woman who... Lauren, you're going to have to help me remember this. Benny Johnson talks about it. There was a woman who went to... It was the Wales, is that right? Welsh Revival. And a woman was told by God to go over there to some place... Huh? To a cathedral. And she was told to go wake up the angel that was sleeping. The angel of revival, of the Welsh Revival. And she flew over there, and there were thousands of people going all around there, you know. And so she got over there, and she said, "Wakey, wakey," you know. And she turned and walked away, and the Lord said, "Is that how bad you want it?" And so she turned around, and with all of her might, "Wakey, wakey," you know, "Wakey, wakey." That was the word that God gave her to say. And nothing happened. She just looked like a fool out there. And she turned and walked away. And when she did, she began to feel the ground rumble. And she turned around and looked. And out of the ground was coming this gigantic angel, a revival that had been appointed and commissioned and charged to carry out the Welsh Revival. And God was waking it up. And so, that's what I want you to begin to just engage the Lord in and ask Him, what's dormant? These angels that Bobby encountered in Moravian Falls were dormant and without charge and without commission since the 1700s. Awaiting somebody to give them work to do. And so, ask the Lord, you know, what do we need to be waking up? Who do we need to be waking up? And I believe God's going to give you insight and give you strategy to get to that place. We want all of heaven's help for what God's doing here. And so, look at Psalm 24 if you'd like. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, of those who seek Your face, even Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Now, I don't know if you all have seen as many as we have, but there have been rainbows all over Selma for the past 2 weeks. It's been unbelievable to see how many rainbows. And we saw, we've been seeing double rainbows too. And I was walking at work in our parking lot, and every time I walk out, I always expect to see a rainbow, but I never have there. But and we've been at this location for a couple of years now, but one day I know I'm going to walk out and see a rainbow. But the Lord really spoke something to me. He said, you realize you have to look up to see a rainbow. And you have to get your eyes off of what's going on in this direction and on this direction. And you have to look up to see the promise of God. And so, if I could leave you with a word and a charge, it would be, look up. Look up and see the promise of God and see your help coming from the Lord. Look up and engage the promise of God. And I just think God made it that way, that we would have to look up to see the promise of God. And when we do, we can look up and see the help of the Lord coming from the mountain. You know, and over Selma, look up and see the help, the hope, and the healing of God over you. And so, look at Revelation 22:17, where we started. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come," and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And so, do you wish for it? Do you wish for the water of life? Then in Jesus' name, just take it. Take it. It's yours for the taking. You can have it. You can have all that He has. And you can experience here on earth. You can experience heaven on earth on a daily basis. And so, Lord, come. Just come, Lord. We call our groom to come. Come, Lord Jesus. And our prayer, God, is just to take us and release us in the river of God. To flow freely. To flow from that pure place of your heart. The river coming from your throne and your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.